Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
To be with them. This weekend, we've been dealing with this idea of deliverance and the fact that we have been delivered from sin and circumstances so that we can then announce that deliverance exists to those around us who need to also be delivered. And so this weekend, we've looked at stories from the Old Testament, stories like the story of Joseph, and how his story shows us that God delivers him out of his circumstances, even though his circumstances were not his fault. And the circumstances that Joseph finds himself in are the direct result of other people's sin. Yet even in the midst of that, God can still use those circumstances for a greater purpose and his ultimate glory. And then we saw the story of Moses and how sometimes our difficulties and our circumstances are a direct result of our sin. And we live in the consequences of our own actions. And we see the story of Joseph and he commits this terrible sin and then goes and spends 40 years dwelling on and revisiting this moment of failure. Yet God chooses to use him for his ultimate purpose, delivering his people. And then we look at the actual story of the Exodus, the greatest deliverance narrative in the entirety of the Bible, where God chooses people to bring to himself and to create in that people a holy nation, his people. He claims ownership over those people. And we see throughout the Exodus account, God using situations and circumstances as a method and a way to teach us what it means to be in right relationship with him. And so today, as you take your copy of the scripture, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, the very beginning, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8 this morning. Because as we consider the fact that we have been delivered from our sin and from our circumstances for a purpose. And again, that purpose is to announce that deliverance exists to the people who need to be delivered around us. And I can think of multiple places in Scripture where Jesus typifies this idea. However, to me, none more poignant than Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. It says this, if you would read with me. It says, "And getting into the boat, he crossed over and came to his own city." This is Jesus. "And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven.' And behold, some of these scribes said to themselves, 'This man is blaspheming.' But Jesus, verse 4, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralytic, 'Rise, pick up your bed and go home.' And he rose and he went home, and the crowd saw it, and they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men." We see in this story, we see this moment of exchange between Jesus and this paralyzed man and some of the people who were in the crowd around him. Jesus has just spent some time across the Sea of Galilee. He's been asked by the people on the other side to go home. They don't want him over there. And so Jesus returns over to sort of his side of the lake. And as he gets back, he is brought a man who is paralyzed. Notice he's brought a man who is paralyzed, and the thing that he notices about that situation is not the man's paralysis, it's the fact that his friends had faith that Jesus was able to save him. That Jesus was able to speak into a situation and a circumstance that outside of Jesus there was no remedy for. There was no fixing this issue that this man had. And because of his friend's faith, Jesus sees him. And he says to the paralyzed man, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." Which is interesting, knowing that his problem, his circumstance, his situation, it's very obvious that he needs to be healed of his paralysis. I'm assuming that's why the friends brought him to Jesus in the first place. That here's our friend, he is paralyzed. We know that at this point, Jesus has a reputation of healing. So we're going to bring our friend who needs healing to the person who can heal. And Jesus' response when seeing the faith of his friends is, "Your sins are forgiven." And the people that were in the crowd have issue with this. Notice, when Jesus heals people of other physical issues, when he heals people who are blind, when he heals people who are otherwise paralyzed, when he heals people who are sick, or even when he brings people back from the dead, as he was known to do, the religious leaders have no problem with that. They have no issue with Jesus healing physical circumstances. They have no problem with Jesus helping someone who is hurt or crippled or blind. Yet when Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven," that's when they have a problem. Hey, by the way, can we just say this? That noise, that's the noise of a healthy church. Just so you know. Right? Amen. So Jesus heals him, and then when he heals him of his sin, the scribes and the teachers and the leaders, they say, hold on, this is a problem. Because only God is, and they're thinking this, and I'm sure there's murmurs among themselves of this thing, like, hey, you're not allowed to do that. You can't say that sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins. And first of all, they're missing the obvious in front of them that this man is clearly God. He takes ownership over issues and problems and circumstances and fixes them by his power. So they're missing the obvious that this man is God. But then Jesus, knowing what was in their hearts and knowing their thoughts, responds to what they were thinking. And he says, "Why do you think such evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise and walk?" He compares these two because one is an internal thing first. Your sins are forgiven, that's an internal thing. To rise and walk, that would be a very clearly external thing, especially for this man. And so then to prove the fact that Jesus has the authority to forgive his sin, he then tells the paralyzed man, "Pick up your mat, rise, and go home." Thus proving that what he first forgave was legitimate because he now heals the external. So the external proving the internal. And he's paralyzed no more. And he rose and he went home. And the crowd saw it and they were afraid and they glorified God. See, what we see in the story is we see some possible responses to the offer of deliverance. We see some possible ways that we might respond to this offer that we can be delivered out of our sin and out of our circumstances. We see the response of the leaders, the religious leaders. They're questioning and they're leery. And they're a little angry that Jesus heals and Jesus saves. See, one of the things that I think, if we're not careful, we can be guilty of is looking at people from an earthly human perspective and looking at their life and looking at their situation and their circumstances, especially when their situation is because of their doing, it's their actions, it's their fault. We can have the tendency to look at their situation and go, "Well, you kind of earned it. You deserve it. It's your fault." And then we get a little miffed when they are saved or they are healed. Sometimes our response to the work of Jesus in the life of someone else is a little bit of maybe anger or questioning. Maybe the response is like some of the people who were in the crowd. They see what Jesus is capable of. They see what Jesus accomplishes in this man's life, and they're a little afraid. They're a little unsure about what this man is about and what he's willing to do and what he's willing to ask us to do in response. They're a little nervous. What if he asks me to do something I'm not comfortable with? What if he asks me to share? What if he asks me to get? What if he asks me to do these things? They're a little bit afraid. Or maybe, and I hope this would be true, maybe the response is acceptance and honor and glory. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's done. And they went home, and not only the man and his friends were glorifying God, but people in the crowd saw what Jesus did, saw the difference that he made in this man's life, and their response was to God be the glory. See, they recognized what the religious leaders and scribes didn't, that this man has the authority to forgive sin. This man has the authority to speak into our circumstances because this man is God. So glory to him. Glory and honor and praise to him who can do these things. You see, in the story of deliverance, we see that Jesus addresses a need. Jesus addresses this man's greatest need. And his greatest need is not to be healed from his paralysis. His greatest need is to be forgiven of sin. Jesus deals with the issue that is most at hand. Jesus deals with the issue that is most destructive. Jesus deals with the situation that needs to be addressed first and foremost, and it's his sin. See, we would look at it, and we would look at his situation, and we go, man, that is so sad. I cannot believe you're in that situation. I'm so sorry. Jesus looks at it and goes, that is a secondary issue. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. And that's this man's greatest need. When we see the people that are around us, and make no mistake, you are where you are, and you know the people that you know, so that we can be as delivered people, recognizing that deliverance is an option for them as well, and then inviting them to be delivered. All of that speaks to the forgiveness of sin. See, that's what our world needs to understand. That's what the people around us need to know. It is not simply about your circumstances. It is about the forgiveness of sin that is offered by the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But interestingly, he doesn't simply forgive his sin. And let's be clear, if all he did, that would have been enough. That would have been more than enough. That would have been more than this man deserves. Yet in his compassion and in his kindness, Jesus not only forgives his sin, but then he addresses his circumstance. Then he heals his body. He fixes the situation in front of him as well. And let's not forget that if all he did was forgive sin, if he never addressed his situation, he never addressed his circumstance, then he would be no less loving. He would be no less kind. He would be no less good, and he certainly would be no less God. Yet, because of his great love, he heals this man's circumstance. But I find it interesting that if he had only healed his sin, then eventually he would have also healed his circumstance. You see, in healing his sin, he brings him into right relationship with God. That is a life and a life eternal. So if the situation didn't resolve itself, if this man stayed paralyzed, then his situation would have resolved itself just in the next life, not in this one. You see, the situation and the circumstance that Jesus speaks into is, yes, his sin. And that sin and the freedom from it would lead to the other situation being dealt with. And even though this man walks this day, we know that if Jesus didn't decide to heal him then, he healed him eternally. And even though he walked that day, if he hadn't, and he hadn't walked the rest of his life, then he would have walked one day in the next. And so Jesus deals with our sin and our circumstances. And even if he doesn't address your circumstance now, he has addressed your circumstance. And your circumstance is only temporary. because he has dealt with our sin. We have been delivered so that we can announce deliverance to those who need to be delivered. And this is what we see in the life of Jesus. This is what we see in the life of these friends. This is what we see in those who rightly walked away glorifying God. I'm sure there were myriad conversations that took place after this event. People would say, well, what did you do this weekend? What did you get up to? I met this man Jesus, and you'll never believe what he did. So we get to, in the midst of our circumstances, in spite of our circumstances, we as those who have been delivered can announce deliverance to those who need to be delivered. Again, thank you all so much for allowing me to be here with you and your students this week. And we want to transition into a time of response. Because once we've spent time in God's Word, it's good to respond. And so here's the invitation this morning. I'm going to pray for us in just a minute. When I am done, there are going to be a couple of pastors down front. There's a couple of options. One, if you want to know this Jesus, if you recognize that your situation needs to be dealt with, then we can do that. And I encourage you, if you recognize, like, I don't know this Jesus, I don't know this person who forgives sin, then let me invite you to meet him today. Maybe you've decided that this family of believers, you've decided that you want to live life with this family of faith. You've decided, I want these people to be my people. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to commit and I'm going to be part of this family. Then by all means, today's the day. If you recognize that maybe there's a step of obedience that you need to take. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus or you just became a follower of Jesus and you're asking what's next. I would encourage you, baptism is next. Maybe that's an option for you and you've never experienced believer's baptism. If you just want someone to pray with you, I can speak for the pastors that will be here and tell you that they would love nothing more than to pray for you. Or maybe our response is just to glorify God in worship this morning. Whatever the case may be, I pray that you would respond in a way that is obedient to the invitation of our great God. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning. God, having a moment, having an opportunity to respond in faith. God, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. Show us what obedience looks like. God, I pray that our response would not be one of fear, would not be one of questions or confusion. God, I pray that our response would not be one of anger at what you offer, but God, our response would be one where we glorify you for all that you have done. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those of us who have been delivered. We thank you for that deliverance. May we never forget what you have done for us. We thank you that you dealt with our greatest need, the forgiveness of sin. And God, in dealing with the forgiveness of sin, you also deal with our circumstances. So heal, redeem, fix what we see that can't be fixed on our own, that we may glorify you now and for eternity. It's in your name we ask these things and we pray. Amen.